Thank you.
You're on.
Update. We'll try again. Okay. Will everyone please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. We'll do the approval of the minutes for July 3rd. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second? Got it?
Yep.
Any changes, comments, revisions? No? Okay, I'll call the vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan has another meeting, so I'd like to ask the committee if they would be all right with moving Resolution 375 up the agenda.
September introduction. You're not going to vote on it.
Just discuss.
For discussion. Okay.
So this is a resolution that I crafted after seeing that Albany County had declared themselves to be a pollinator-friendly county. And in their resolution, it appeared that they were pledging to do things we were already doing, and that if they counted as a pollinator-friendly county, we should as well. So I tried to incorporate what I think we're doing with some guidance from the Department of the Environment and some conversations kind of late in the game with the Department of Public Works. This is presented for discussion because I think that we'll end up with a better announcement of what we do if we discuss together and get clear about what we do and what we think we can do. So I reached out to Director Jackson and he has some comments, so maybe we can look at the things you'd like to have us
sure.
be aware of.
Sure. I would say our only concern would be the statement that the third resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And continued timing roadside mowing to minimize impacts on pollinating plants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That I would just like to see something that doesn't conflict with safety, highway safety, and pavement preservation efforts. And the reason I say that is because we have 846 lane miles of roads to maintain the shoulders of and the mowing, and a lot of vegetation impacts site distances. You know, that could be intersections, it could also be curves. And we need to pretty much continuously mow in order to keep up. We have mowers in each of four geographical sections, and we try to keep staff in a mower throughout the growing season, which would begin in June and go through fall. Sometimes there are personnel conflicts, getting somebody in that seat because of other priorities like construction jobs. So whenever we have equipment breakdowns. So whenever the equipment's available and we have the personnel available, we need to continuously mow or we won't keep up. We do respond to a lot of complaints about site distance problems, and what we try to do is work with the people. It's not efficient to send the mower out to do one little intersection when it's across somewhere else in the section, maybe 10, 15 miles away, working its way in that direction. So we try to evaluate how critical it is. All I'm saying is, if it's a highway safety issue, then I wouldn't want to see that statement conflict with it. The other area would be pavement preservation. Pavement preservation requires that we keep moisture from penetrating the pavement surface. And when you get canopy overgrowing the road, it tends to keep the road moist. That's a pavement preservation issue. It can also be a safety issue if you have moisture refreezing as the sun sets. We would hope that to keep you're moving air. And when you get total overgrowth, you don't have the moving air. And we do have spots that freeze up on us because of that. So those are the two.
Little mini coats.
Or the one category that I would say, please be mindful of and give consideration to language and the resolution regarding that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the resolve says where practicable, but it's a long sentence. So if we change that last sentence to say, and time roadside mowing to minimize impacts on pollinating plants, comma, when safety and pavement preservation activities allow.
May I make an offer? Mm-hmm. Just without compromising safety or pavement preservation, would that?
As long as we have that, as long as we can at DPW can execute that as an option.
Yeah, and I think that this is, you know, we want this to be practical, and I sent to Tom that the DEP, Marilyn Manis Jones, who's known locally as the Butterfly Lady, had contacted the DEP, and they told her that they were now mowing in early in June and not again until the fall. But they have far fewer lane miles than this, I'm sure.
That would be crippling to her.
Right. So that's what had made me think that we could do it based on timing. But in your response on this, you talked about being flexible in terms of incorporating some pollinating plants and carbon sequestering plants when you can. So maybe we could do that in areas where there are not site distances and things, or if we could look at whether there's areas that you routinely don't get to because they don't grow that well or something, the mowing tends not
or
to...
Or up banks that don't need to be... There are places.
So if we concentrate our pollinating plants in the places we're not going to mow anyway, that would be an alternative, and maybe we could even incorporate the language. I think there is something that says
parklands... Proactively. Yeah.
Is there a low-growth pollinating plant that also would help replace, you know, potentially an area where... We plant something that doesn't grow too much,
like almost a ground cover
at
instead
a site
of a
area.
Clover,
so that
for example, is bees love clover.
Yeah,
so.
And crown vetch is one of those plants that is great for banks around construction sites because it takes over. It's low.
That might be enough.
Crown
vetch
is
areas
a clover,
where there's
trefoil kind of plant.
Site distance.
Absolutely. I think this is great, particularly buildings, grounds, parks, opportunities for plantings. I think I'd love to see so that we know, so that we're educated, kind of like a preferred list of pollinator plants. We're selecting from that list as opposed to sending somebody to Augustine to get generic plants.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will, between now and introducing this, reach out to the nurseries, as many of them as I can, and ask them to send us that. I have reached out already to the DEC, to Cornell Cooperative, to Eric Kiviat at Hudsonia. I plan to reach out to the Carey Institute. I've mainly been asking them about the pollinators and what we need to protect. But I think we kind of have that now, as much as I think I can get, or getting close to it. And the flip side of it is what plants we should be using ourselves and encouraging others to use and plant. And I'm sure each nursery has their own list, but we can just say, you know, here's six different lists you can choose from, recommended by...
That would be great.
You know, would that...
That would really help.
And then if you have that and you're incorporating that into your planting practices,
then that's what
I think
plant.
We qualify big time as a pollinator-friendly county, because we're doing things. Now, maybe you can clarify, because I hadn't had a chance to talk with Amanda. We do have a policy to use integrated pest management, and we don't use
glyphosate.
So that already is, again, another kind of thing that the Albany County was pledging to kind of phase out, and
we haven't been doing. It's gone.
Do you know what we do? Do we use any
herbicides? So on
roadsides,
we don't use any.
None.
Which again brings back
the
mowing.
State does.
In elevates mowing as around signage, guide rail, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We used to use glyphosates.
But now you're using mechanical means instead.
Now we're using mechanical means, which is a little more labor intensive, which is fine.
And if we can kind of, if we...
That should be aware of, maybe.
Yeah, well, it's in there as our local law about requiring non-toxic landscape management maintenance, but I wanted to double-check that it applied to the highway department.
So the Office of Environment, I think it's important to talk to Amanda because they have a committee that oversees the use. There are exemptions that I believe that you can apply for. I think the CMRR has applied for exemptions to use along the rail corridor. And an example of an exemption that might come up for county consideration is Japanese knotweed growing in areas that are that very problematic plant, and it's the only chemical that will control it.
I have a method of controlling knotweed mechanically that I actually have talked with Amanda about whether we could do a controlled trial of my mechanical method.
Got a place for you.
Do you? Okay.
Midtown Lanier Park.
Ah,
go
yes,
look,
yes.
Go look at it on Down Street.
I have seen, I've cleaned in that area, and that's what made me think of it, doing this. Okay, so let's get together and actually formalize it, and it's a little labor intensive, but I think...
Is it a torch?
No, it's a...
I've just heard that people are torching.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're torching
it.
Very, specifically at the base of the plant, I think. You
uh-huh.
know. It's
well,
got to be done carefully.
Another wing. But no, you just bend the plant over at the base in towards the center, and it can't grow while it's repairing. And so
okay.
I have a section
I've done extensive reading on this. I never saw that.
Yeah, I actually got
I'd
some research paper on
that.
It, too. Well, part of it's my own method, but the DEC did try this with Roundup. Over in the Beaver Kill area in Sullivan County, but they didn't stomp, I call it stomping out knotweed, they didn't stomp nearly as much as I do, and they used an herbicide as well. So I'd like to, but I've done a section in Woodstock that's about 60 yards, and it's clear of knotweed except for about 10 feet at one corner. That was the last corner that I got to in the treatment.
So what we'll need to see over time is, does it come back?
Yeah, well, what happens is when you get it down to where you can't see it anymore, if it comes up, that's where you dig to get the root ball.
Okay.
Because when it's so thick, you can't tell where the root ball is.
So my reading on it is that the rhizomes will grow 3 meters deep. And spread out 25 feet.
Mm-hmm. We see it over there.
So you're looking 10 feet deep by 25 feet wide, and then they'll come back. This plant evolved on the sides of volcanoes in Japan, and it evolved so that it can grow back. You can wipe out the vegetation with lava, with a lava flow, and it will still find a way back. And that's why it grows through pavement.
Yeah, we've seen
that. It's so.
Okay,
I'm very
so that's our next.
That. Okay.
That's our next project.
But
we
I thought Ulster Soil and Water covered them. They used a canvas
yeah,
or
but
something.
They tried that. Woodstock Artist Museum has a big infestation in several areas, and they tried the covering, everything. And the only section of their land that doesn't have knotweed growing on it right now is the section I've been working on.
In England, it's so bad.
3 or 4 years.
Japanese knotweed. You have to have a surveyor come out and determine if you have knotweed on your property or adjacent to your property. And if you do, you can't get a mortgage without putting money in escrow to mitigate that.
Wow.
Where is this?
England. It will destroy foundations.
Wow.
It's not that bad here now, but England's kind of cramped.
Yeah.
And they've had more years of it than we have.
Wow.
So beware.
Well, let's talk offline about getting a study and really figure out what would work. And I think the Midtown Linear Parcel is a perfect place for it. It's very thickly infested.
And it's going to need to come under some kind of control.
Replace it with pollinators. Well, that's what I'm going to say, yeah, if we can get...
Yeah.
I did,
so do other people have comments or questions about the resolution, things that we should try to address before it's formally introduced?
I just got down from St. Lawrence County, and they have, you know, these just big clusters of pollinators, the black-eyed Susans and echinacea, and the butterflies are everywhere. It's amazing. It really is.
This basically deals with Ulster County.
Yes.
Itself, not private.
Not private, although the intent is to encourage. I did mention in here that the town of Olive has taken the National Wildlife Federation's Municipal Monarch Pledge,
mm-hmm.
and I would like more towns in Ulster County to do that. There's a similar pledge that individuals can take, and maybe I should put that in here
mm-hmm.
as well. Because basically this is a situation where it's just the more places that give this attention, the more places of safe harbor the pollinators have. And some of them need to move, and then so it's good to have multiple places because
right.
they can migrate. But some of them don't really need to move. They can spend their whole life in one little section doing
mm-hmm.
their little thing, and that's a good thing.
I just want to make sure there's no unintended consequences in the agricultural community, because farmers need to do things at certain times during the year.
This is county operations, right?
Excuse me?
It's county operations as far as the,
right.
the restrictions.
Well, that's why I'm asking whether
right.
it's just county operation, or do we see in the future it going to private also?
I hadn't had that intent, but the agricultural community has been very strongly supportive of this. The governor had a task force on pollinators, and the
mm-hmm.
agricultural community was the one asking for it, because
right.
the pollinator decline at 50% to 70%
right.
hits our orchards very, very
hard. I understand that.
So,
but
I don't
also cut hay when clover is in bloom and timothy is in bloom, and if they said, well, if it's in bloom, you can't cut it because that's when the pollinators are getting to it. I do 500 acres. That would push me into having to do 500 acres in a couple of weeks instead of a couple of months.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's an issue, because most of the, you know, the crop is has already bloomed prior to, but don't want to be in a position where you have a late year, much like we're having now,
mm-hmm.
and be subject to not being able to harvest the crop because the bloom is still there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just something to think about.
Yeah, I'm the liaison to Soil and Water,
mm-hmm.
and when I told them that I was bringing this forward, they were very excited, but I think that it would be important to get farmers involved in what
agreed.
Would make sense for them to do.
And I understand why they would
and I don't know what that is.
I understand why they would be very excited, because they're all apple and
mm-hmm.
peach and cherry farmers. You don't have any livestock farmers on the board, so they're not may not be as excited.
I don't think there's anybody who volunteered on that in that category, but let's...
I did, but I can't.
Yeah.
So.
We'll get back to that as well. So I'll take these comments and redraft this and send some language around between now and September, so that we
right.
have some consensus before I put something formally in September. And if I may, I don't have any other concerns about any of the other resolutions that the committee will be looking at, except that I wanted to say on Creekside Drive, which
yes.
does need stabilization, that was the alternative route during the construction of the New York State Bridge on Route 28. And so this is, a reflection of the interaction between the county and state efforts, that there was no alternative. No good alternative to using Creekside Drive, but now the county has an expense related.
Well, I don't think it's related. I think
you don't think so?
No, it's slope slippage on the side of a steep bank on the north side of the Esopus.
But
I don't.
Wouldn't heavy traffic along there have?
I couldn't say.
Okay.
I,
So you would leave it. You would leave it an open question.
Yeah, it's
okay.
An open question.
Well, I think the people out in my district think
they
that.
Think
so.
So, okay.
So I'll say that I discussed it, and you're not. You know, there's at least
I can't
a question.
Rule it out.
Yeah. But in any case, it does need to be stabilized,
absolutely.
And it's good
yes.
that the county is stepping in to do that. And the bridge on 28, which did have some sightline problems, which I had mentioned at some previous meetings, the state seems to have addressed. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, Andrew Emmerich, one of our in-house engineers, worked very, very hard to make that happen.
I know they didn't want to do it initially.
He absolutely put his foot down, and they didn't want to do anything.
Right, that was the original response that I got in the Transportation Council. Well, please thank Andrew for us, because I had multiple complaints from constituents about it, had noticed it myself,
right.
And it's much better now.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Apologies.
Drive safe.
See you next time.
Okay, Kath. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Take care.
There's no resolutions that have an issue with anybody having to abstain, is there?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I just
don't have to abstain on any of these.
So.
Do you need me?
Oh, yes, I do. I have to abstain on the first one,
351. 351, so should we have a motion to bring 351, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with T. McElligut Incorporated?
I'll move it.
Second?
No questions.
Okay. No questions? And one abstention. Well, we
second.
Have to call the vote. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's call a vote.
Aye.
All in favor? Aye. Abstention?
I will abstain.
Legislator Litz? Anybody opposed?
My company designed the system that they're installing.
That's a good reason.
Yeah. That means I don't have to ask any questions about the quality, huh?
Very good.
It means that if you do ask, he's recused and he can't answer.
We don't need any more heating systems like we have at the jail.
Thank you all.
Okay.
Take care.
All right, next resolution, 362, authorizing the chairwoman of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a government entity lease disclosure sheet with the Department of Public Works. I hear a motion.
I move.
Second. Any discussion or questions? No? All right, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
So moved. Resolution 363, amending the 2019 Ulster County Budget Extreme Winter Recovery Funding Appropriation with the Department of Public Works.
So moved.
Second.
We got this one.
Now, you've, because it seemed to snow every Sunday and it was a lot of overtime, there is no funding for the season starting October, November, December. Is that why we're looking to amend the budget?
No, we're amending the budget because New York State granted us additional revenues for expenses that we've been putting out.
Okay.
This was in the original governor's budget. He took it out, and then it was put back in.
Mm-hmm. Very late this year.
It's funding that we typically get every year.
Right.
It was decided that it was going to be cut, and we lobbied very hard to get it back in, and we're successful.
Typically, we would come to you with this when we do Pave New York and CHIPS funding earlier in the year,
mm-hmm.
but this just came out very late. So.
Okay. All right. I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution 364, supporting notice of intent of Ulster County to serve as a lead agency for capital project number 488, installation of shoulders along Route 299, towns of New Paltz and Gardner, transportation improvement program.
So moved.
Second.
Mark,
yes.
would you mind just bringing us up to date on, you know, the status this apparently is the rail trail?
No, this is shoulders along 299 that go from Butterville Road up to...
Oh, so this isn't North...
44,
okay.
4455.
All right.
It's extending the shoulders from where they ended.
It's on the tip for, I think, 2021 because there's going to be significant acquisition. I think
94 properties or something like that.
Ooh, so wow. That we'll have to take potentially through either eminent domain or preferably a
negotiations.
A negotiation.
Everybody will be in agreement.
Okay, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution number 365, establishing capital project number 550, fairground improvements and amending the 2019 capital fund budget.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
This is so they stop putting their gray water tanks into our storm drain.
Okay.
It's the vendor area. It's actually having a collection tank that will be designed and installed on site.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they have collection tanks, but they get full, and so the vendors just take their gray water.
Open up the spigot and let it go.
Yep, and that potentially puts us on the hook for violations of our stormwater. We have a SWIP,
mm-hmm.
and... We go out there, the health department goes out there every morning because we give them a campground permit,
mm-hmm.
and we'll, notify the fair that there's hoses in there and the fair will go and reconcile, they'll go talk to the vendors, but we just...
So this is on the
parking lot side.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But the grass is very green at the end of the
tunnel. Yeah, loves the phosphates.
We got your parking lot in.
It's beautiful. It is beautiful.
Did a great
job. Yeah.
Too. Thank you. I knew the boys could do it.
And it was
really
completely.
That was the new paver, you know.
Is it
you
under
made
budget?
A comment.
Yeah.
Doing training exercise with the new paver. The timing worked out. Couldn't have been better.
I knew it would. I had that vision.
And it was completely full when we were out Wednesday.
Yeah.
So...
Turned out very nice.
It did.
I'm proud of the boys. I really am.
Nice.
Did a good job. Very good job.
And saved county a lot of money.
Yeah, a couple hundred thousand.
Okay.
Gonna have to go back in and actually pave it. I mean,
yeah, you only paved one strip.
We only paved one strip.
So
wait.
The pavement is for ADA.
Okay.
The required number of spaces that are ADA need to be paved and lined.
And it was
the rest of it because Gary Newkirk didn't really want any of it paved.
Okay.
Because it's harder to fit as many vehicles as he wants to. So the rest of it is going to remain unpaved, and it's his generic handicap parking area, and he's happy with that.
Yeah.
Because the more spaces we line, the fewer cars he can actually get.
And the quicker the runoff, and it's not as environmentally friendly.
Exactly. So
you get more runoff
than
you get, then you get infiltration, and we want infiltration.
Yes.
Okay, so it's complete.
We do need to come back to fix the swale to the storm drain. That's the only thing we need to do and bring some material in there.
Okay.
And then next year, this tank with the pumping station that'll pump into a line that's then gravity feed into the sand filtration system.
It's going to go through there anyway, so you're
going
to have to regrade
it.
So
yeah.
If you do that first, you only have to regrade it once instead of twice.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Before we get off this resolution,
sir,
the improvements are $90,000.
The design for them.
Mm. Mm, the design is in the next resolution.
Is the contract for the design. Right.
The design in the capital
project, the
funding for it is $365,000. The contract. Remember, you always have a capital project funding. And
yes, you're getting to my point. The capital project is $90,000.
The contract's $84,800.
And the contract is $84,800 to do the design.
Yes.
Hmm.
So will you be coming back for more money, or are you going to do it in-house, or?
Yes.
We'll be coming back once we have design, then we'll have hard numbers of what the construction.
Okay, you just wanted to make sure you put in a capital program that's
yes.
more than the 84,000,
yes.
and then you'll come back for an amendment when you know the number.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which we do
okay.
typically after we go out to bid for the construction.
I understand. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't spending $84,800 to design a $900,000 or a $90,000
no.
solution.
Mm-hmm. No, and that design also includes...
Which kind of is what the handicapped parking lot started out as, but...
But just be aware, it's more than what's happening on the parking lot side of the lot.
Mm.
It's the potable water system that needs to have a serious upgrade. That's where
yeah.
the larger number and design is going to be.
See, we sold the property where the dam was, and now the water doesn't flow downhill. We got to pump it from somewhere.
Yes.
And
right.
that was spring water, too.
Yes.
And that was good
beautiful
water.
Beautiful water.
Yes, it was. Spent a lot of time
but about,
it.
What, 2.5 miles away? Long ways.
Those old timers were, you know, they were good.
Yeah. Excellent.
So the entire cost, in, you know, before... The parking lot was put in was 165, 185. That's what
it's
was anticipated.
It's too soon.
Separate capital, but
yeah.
yes, it was in the. I think it was 165.
165.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for the parking lot.
For the parking lot.
And that
for
was just for the design, though.
No.
No.
That was for the whole thing. So
that
it was
for the whole
just
room.
The parking lot.
Mm-hmm. Just for the payment of the parking lot, the ADA and the handicap parking lot. This is a separate capital.
Okay.
Yeah, this is.
Because I thought that originally it was for to address the stormwater issues or the water issues, and the parking lot was 165. So we spent. Did we go under the 55,000 budget? Yeah.
Under the 165 original, but.
Right.
Yeah. We.
What did it ultimately cost? Because I think we had approved a resolution for 55.
54.
It hasn't gone over that.
It has not gone over.
It's probably down around 30.
I can't tell you the exact number because we
okay.
still have bills coming in.
Probably around 30 grand.
Yeah.
If that.
I'm trying to formulate a question, but maybe I'll have to do it at a later. I'll just get in touch with you later. I'd wanted to understand if the original capital project was just for the design, and then there's going to be more funding, or because we're getting close then. If we were at 34
to... There were two capitals.
Mm-hmm.
One was strictly for ADA parking.
Okay.
And that's
done.
Now.
And it's
it
not
a
165.
Less,
okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The,
thank you. Okay.
Fairgrounds improvements was always
that's
a
separate. Okay.
Right.
I thought they
right.
were to.
And
okay.
in the capital plan,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what it was, but it's significantly higher than that parking
lot. It's like
lot.
1.2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to say 1.2, 1.3.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
All right. I thought they were together. They're
no,
not.
I think the link that you're thinking of is that because that force main crosses the ADA parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to have grades and everything, or wanted to have grades and everything, so that we didn't go back and dig up what we, you know, what
just
we just started.
Okay.
So.
Okay. All right.
But they're not
going to worry
about
then.
That.
Thank
now.
You.
Yeah. At one time, we were proposing to combine the two next year, so that
mm-hmm.
this would all be done next year,
mm-hmm. right.
In coordination, the various components, but.
It worked
you know,
out.
We worked. It worked out.
Okay.
We won't have to undo anything that we did.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. So I'm going to call a vote on resolution 365. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So moved. Resolution 367, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county with Pinagera and Deutsch Consulting Engineers PC.
I'll move it.
You move it?
Sorry.
Can you pronounce the names for me? Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution 368, amending the 2019-24 Capital Improvement Program, establishing capital project number 551, Creekside Drive Settlement, Town of Shandaken, and amending the 2019 Capital Fund Budget. Hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
So this project had already started? This is the one that
no,
Kathy
we're amending
keeps discussing?
The Capital Improvement Plan, the 5-year plan. So this has not begun yet.
Mm-hmm.
This
okay.
is adding it into that. It wasn't part of the.
It wasn't part of it before. What had come up where it needed to be moved up?
The slope failed, essentially.
Heavy rain last year,
right.
Almost all of them.
And how does this compare with the bid price from earlier this year for slope restoration by this company?
We're using the same contract that you guys approved before. So
okay.
we're going to be using the rate contract for the geostabilization to do this project.
Okay.
Okay,
we're
so
just asking
I remember.
For the money for it right now.
Right, so the dollar value shown in his breakdown are those that were in the bid from April or May?
Yeah.
All right, so that's good. So there's not increase in his price.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
We'd have to come back to you if he did.
Well, if we authorize it in this capital improvement, then you probably wouldn't have to because it would
be. It was a rate cut. Well, we'd have to change the rates.
Yeah.
Unless his rates that are in here, we approve. But if you're telling me the rates he has in here on his breakdown on page 2 of his proposal are the same as what was in the earlier that we voted on in April, May, February, whenever it was.
They haven't changed.
So
okay.
So his
unit bid prices are the same as in his original proposal?
We proposed this as a straight rate contract. The county attorney's office wanted to have the actual amounts. So that's why schedule
okay.
B includes the actual amounts.
Okay, that was my only question.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call the vote on resolution 368. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Resolution 370, abandoning a portion of county road number 29A located in the town of Rochester. Removing a portion of the county road number 29A from the county road map and authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to sign intermunicipal agreements with the town of Rochester. Motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Now, this was the one that was originally owned by the state?
Well, it's always been a county road. This is in Allegreville. Back in the 70s, the bridge was relocated. And there was a segment of original county road that needed to be abandoned, should have been abandoned by the county to
mm-hmm.
the town. This is Supervisor
okay.
Mike Baden here.
Yes, I would like him to
Rochester.
Weigh in. Okay.
And that never happened, and now the town would like to have it happen. I don't want to speak for you.
Okay.
Yeah, how this came about is we're in process of a New York Rising project with the Governor's Office of Storm Recovery. Expand the Allegreville Firehouse to make it an emergency shelter.
Oh, nice.
Part of that is we're moving the existing truck bay and then putting a larger one on. When we, Alfondre Architecture is our project engineer on it, and when they came back with the drawings, we discovered that the building was going to be over the boundary line of the property. Contacted Mr. Jackson and he thought that the property had been abandoned to the town at some point. It's become known as Creek Road, and the town has been plowing and maintaining it for quite some time. But when I said, well, I'm going to need to see documentation to keep the state happy, and we went looking and found there was none.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, the county
yeah.
still has it. So we, as the town, need to convey a piece of that to the fire district to be able to make this project move forward. So in order for us to convey it, we need the county to convey it first to us, and then we will convey it to the fire district. It's a little convoluted, but it's really the only way we can get this project completed. And it's in front of our local planning board right now for site plan approval and kind of waiting on this piece to get finished so we can move start put it out the bids and start constructing.
Are there any concerns? Now would it technically be a county road, even though the town has been taking care of it?
No, it's been county owned and town maintained.
Okay.
They don't
without
even get DOT chip
yeah,
reimbursement
not
for.
It's not on our
it's
DOT
on the list. And this is something that should have happened in the 70s and just didn't.
Okay.
You know, so.
As part of the New York Rising funding, Alfondre was able to hire a surveying company who worked with the DPW to determine the boundaries and create what we're asking for. Currently, we're going to convey just that piece to the fire district, but probably ultimately we will look at other adjoining landowners and offer them pieces as well, and just maintain probably a 50-foot right-of-way along the roadway. But the current concern is to get the firehouse project in motion, because we are fighting DEC and eagles that are nesting on adjacent property, and we have a very short window of construction. They originally only gave us 30 days to construct, and they've since come back and said if we eliminate using jackhammers and go with different methods of construction, we have a bigger window. We have to start this fall.
All right, let's try to shorten it for you. Okay.
Yeah. I want to thank everybody for getting this on the agenda so quickly. It was a very. We got the survey. I think probably around the 20th or of July, and everybody has been fabulous in moving it forward so quickly. So thank you very much for that.
Okay. So I'll call the vote on Resolution 370. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Okay. Oh, I haven't been passing these around. Oh, no. Does that mean I'm fired?
No.
Okay. On to new business. Anything other than the pollinators? No? Old business?
On old business, I just want to remind folks that we're going to be thinking about formalizing a policy on roofs and insulation. And we're going to, I guess, Legislator Petit, myself, and Legislator Nolan are going to be meeting with legislative attorney, and we'll draft something up. Before we move it forward, we'll send it for our input. But just so that as those circumstances come up, it's felt to me over the years that it's a little, not that there isn't a real effort, and I think if I understand correctly, there's actually a committee that includes Department of Environment that reviews these projects to ensure that they're in compliance with the various sustainability policies that have been passed over the years. But, ever since the issue with the family court, I've been very sensitive about it, and I just thought, if we can get really clear guidelines, then I don't have to ask the same questions every time a roof project comes up.
And I think speaking for myself, at least if our policy stated that any, replaced or new roof was engineered in such a way that it would support solar, that would make me a lot more comfortable than, doing the roof and then seeing later if it could support solar. So any new or replaced roof should be engineered so they could have solar put on them.
I mean, the only concern that I have with that is that if we're not going to put solar for some other reason on that roof, there's no reason to engineer it to that load capacity. Which adds quite a bit of expense. I mean, we do have, I think, in front of you, maybe in the Environment and Energy Committee, basically kind of the policy side of the county executive order. Legislator Nolan has codified what Pat believes kind of into policy, and that is getting to 100% solar production, or I should say renewable production, by 2030. In the past, we've taken an approach that is more, as much as we can, building on brownfields and ground mounted. Where the New Paltz salt shed is, we had a solar array built on that. That roof failed years before it should have. Mm-hmm. And so I know they're getting to some technology, but I know Buildings and Grounds has some real concerns on putting, the ballasted systems on our larger commercial roofs. They make them fail.
Because they're flat?
Just generally, if you're going, putting penetrations down,
right.
Yeah. Again, if you're using ballasts and not penetrations, you need a lot more weight-bearing load, so your design costs cost a lot more than if you do penetrate. It's a hard... I look forward to looking at the policy. I just hope that we can have some exceptions where cost is cost prohibitive, that as long as we're getting to the same goal, which is producing 100% solar, that it doesn't necessarily always have to be on the roofs.
But at least if you do the analysis, then you have something to compare to.
Don't we have to do the analysis currently?
Well, the thing is...
You don't believe that as policy as of right now?
Far as I can see, and also by experience, when I've been asking these questions, it hasn't been consistent that that analysis has been done. And it's that I noticed that first with the family court, and we sort of insisted, and then the analysis was done that I actually didn't agree with, and some people that I know that have expertise in the field said that, you know, that other people might have come up with a different analysis. So I just think if we can be real clear, and I don't think we want to move anything forward till we've had really good input. The other thing would be, if it's a shaded roof, we're not going to be taking down trees. Or someday those trees may come down, but we're not going to be taking
down
trees.
Right, that's why I was saying, if it's a place that we know we're not going to build because of shade or other circumstances, I just wouldn't want to engineer it.
Okay. Yep. That's a good point. Do we
have
any...
Which could do the analysis, and then you have reasons.
That's right.
The analysis doesn't cost.
Do any of the county buildings now, aside from the salt shed, which was like the poster child for Ulster County at one time, do they have solar on any of the roofs?
I don't believe so.
Just the dump, yeah.
Which
well,
is too
again,
many.
It's a brownfield
20%.
Site that, yeah.
We have another brownfield site that we're working on right now, developing, which is the Siska Tire Dump, which is going to probably produce another 20% when we're all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And that's in the RFP process. So we'll be at 40% with two ground-mounted projects.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Sorry.
Anybody been to Woodbury Commons lately? As you come over down the hill from Bear Mountain and go around to go onto the thruway, just a beautiful, huge array that the state has put up. That is so valuable because it's land that otherwise has no other use or value. It's not prime farmland. We're not cutting down trees. It's a huge array. And I think we're getting there little by little.
I'd love to see it all the way up and down the New York State Thruway.
Yep.
I mean, we've got 15 closed landfills in the county.
Enhance our visual experience.
Esopus and New Paltz are putting it up. So
NYPA is approaching the towns that have closed landfills, because I know Rosendale was approached.
They have been. Town of Lloyd, 10 years ago, were approached by several. To put solar array on it.
And those are ideal settings unless, you have some other use for it. It has been suggested that we look at our closed landfills for landfill...
Reclamation.
Reclamation. Dig them up.
I don't know how far that'll get, but...
I heard one of them
there
stack
could
on
be
the hot list.
And I think
landfills.
New Paltz is also considering this.
They went out to RFP. I think they've decided on a vendor. So yeah,
great.
We wanted to do that. We wanted to
do New Paltz. Yeah, it's the slope is really steep on the south side.
Yeah.
So it's you're not going to get a big array up there. I don't know what this.
If they weren't going to do it, we've offered to.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're moving. If Rosendale doesn't want to do theirs, then they should let us know, and maybe there's a way that we could develop a solar system.
Mm. Okay,
if the
I will.
Not interested.
I just recently heard about that, and about and it apparently it's New York Power Authority that is I don't know that they want to develop the project. They may.
They are developing the project. They are developing. So they, much like the dormitory authority,
yeah,
we are working with them to kind of do a design build project. Potentially, we're looking at them doing the design for the Siska project. Now, we're trying to figure out if their prices make sense. But they'll do the whole project like the dormitory authority will. They'll design it and run through the procurement and construction.
Great.
Oh, there's a lot of companies out there. They'll design it, build it. You lease them the property. They pay the taxes. They pay you money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 20-year lease. After 20 years, they take everything, including the foundations, out.
Or you can buy it normally after a few years. I mean, we're doing a power purchase agreement on the other. Because it doesn't make sense for us to build and bond these things. We don't pay federal taxes, and mm-hmm. so the incentives, these are all tax incentives to build them, tax credits.
Yeah.
We don't pay those, so we can't see the savings.
Yeah.
Somebody like mm-hmm. one of these local developers, we lease them the property and do a power purchase agreement, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's cheaper.
But they're out there.
Oh, yeah.
I get letters all the time. I've had a couple of people show up. They want
to
put them in like one of my 15-acre hay fields.
Mm.
I said, but I need the hay for my cows. He says, we'll buy the hay and deliver it. They'll buy hay, deliver it to my farm to replace what I get off that field.
They won't buy your hay. I thought maybe they'd just get goats to...
That's not going to help my cows.
Free-range cows.
You know, there just really are so many examples of land that
mm-hmm.
doesn't have a higher or better use,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we want to be directing these projects to those lands. They're looking for low-hanging fruit, but if it has a better or higher use, and Scenic Hudson's done a whole lot of work on that.
You got Mohonk Mountain there. I mean, it's all just a ridge land. You could go from one end to the other and just just put solar panels on.
Wind turbines.
Oh, well, you can have both.
Absolutely.
For the eagles.
You drive out in the Columbia River Gorge, and it's all right there. On both sides of the on the Washington and Oregon side. I mean, I just don't understand. We don't have it on the Hudson Valley River, but you drive out there, and it's wind turbine after wind turbine after wind turbine.
Go to Ireland.
Nobody has a problem with it.
Go to Ireland.
Yep.
They're all over
Massachusetts, they're all over the place. We're really far behind. New York State is as far as wind turbines. They're just wind power.
5 years ago, from the window at a farmhouse in Ireland, you could see two. The last time I was there, there's 36. And that's just one view shed.
Right.
And they're you're seeing the equipment going up, putting foundations in, so there's going to be a lot more. I don't know what'll be there when I go back next time.
But we are getting 1,700 megawatts of offshore wind.
Sure.
And the other good news is that the two transmission bottlenecks, bringing energy from the wind in the west, and the wind and also Niagara Falls, you know, the wind and water in the west, and energy from upstate, those transmission bottlenecks, finally the so-called energy highway is moving ahead, and by 2023 that's another 1,250 megawatts. So when people are concerned about replacing Indian Point, even if you ignore the work that the New York ISO has done on reliability, that's over 2,000 megawatts just in those two developments. So I think we're moving in the right direction, and hopefully we'll move in that direction much more rapidly moving forward, so we can meet those recent state goals that are very ambitious, but needed. Enough. I get off my soapbox.
A small wind turbine on every high tension tower in the grid.
Huh.
Or a solar panel.
You'll take care of it. That's my idea, but...
Okay. I didn't think we had the wind capacity. I thought it had to be at 5 to 7 miles per hour consistently.
No, the newer ones can go down to 3 miles an hour.
And
now they make them with a vortex on the front. So, I mean, you get down to 1.5, 2, and by the time it goes through the vortex, it's up to 4.5. Mm-hmm. And it can turn the turbine. So, I mean, and there's horizontal ones.
Backup. Two, battery backup, gas backup, so that they can produce energy when the wind comes on.
And the ones that actually would work best on the high tension towers are the horizontal ones. They look like a squirrel cage, and they spin like this, and you just connect them right into the line, and away you go.
Is the county thinking of
that's my billion-dollar idea.
That's Tom.
Got to get a patent on it.
He's like, oh, no. Gonna build some?
No. I don't see us building another solar project without batteries. Is that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I think
thank
you're
you.
Gonna see that
for anticipating
going
my
forward,
question.
I think that's gonna be a requirement for any power generator.
Great.
Even your large scale generators are gonna have some sort of a battery. I won't even say backup, but battery storage.
Storage.
Because right now we produce a lot of energy peak period. And we don't produce a lot off peak,
right?
But you could reduce peak and continue to generate off peak if you had a battery system to store it in.
Right.
And I think in the future that's going to be a requirement. And look, Caterpillar just bought a huge battery company that does dry cell batteries. I think you're going to see in the future, 5-10 years from now, they're going to be coming out with battery packs that.
Double operated diesel machines.
Mm.
And then we can have a real smart grid.
Oh, you mean without
right?
the diesel?
You have your dishwasher.
No, right now Caterpillar,
right.
like all
controlled
off,
into
off,
the grid,
off highway, like Ukes and things, are
yeah.
all dry cell. You can flip them over and they
that's
still
pretty
run.
Cool.
It's very impressive, and their lifetime, guaranteed lifetime.
Yeah.
You buy the machine, and you will never buy another battery for it.
That's amazing.
It is. It is. The technology is moving forward.
It's moving fast.
Yep. Good news. You can buy one for your pickup now. It's like $1,200. But they'll guarantee you will never buy another battery. Guaranteed for life.
Okay. Any other
I'll
business?
Make a motion for adjournment.
Yeah. Okay. Second.
I'll second that.
Yay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.